Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Becker Psychic Hour. Neil, what's our subject today?
We're going to talk a little bit about intuition.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. another unfunny joke.
Well, intuition versus psychic, pure psychic energy. We don't know what message you got, aside from the fact that I informed you ahead of time.
Well, come on, you're ruining my joke. I think it was ruined before it started.
No, it was a good joke. It was a good
right, as if you're the you know, judge and jury of all comedy.
Yeah. Well, the real question is, can, in looking at the difference between intuition and psychic connections. Are we going to be able to succeed in explaining that difference coherently and basically soundly to our listening public, which is lining up by the millions right now?
Well, we were a little late today, so I don't know what happened in terms of the queue.
Yeah.
But we have problems getting on today. I'm having a little technical difficulty with my laptop, so it's time to replace it, but I'm not going to replace it yet. So, we are talking about intuition today. Of course, we invite our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked under the Blog Talk Radio profile. Call-in number, 914-338-0164. You may press 1 to speak with us. Please do press 1 because then we know to answer the call and that you're not just listening. And the number to call for further conversation, 562-596-7818. Oh.
You know, I think we all come in on ground level with some basis of intuition. I think we all get to have that. That's our first sound bite. Sometimes it's very crude and basic. It starts off almost seemingly like it is an intuition. You're a baby and you're crying and you learn through conditioning and experience and the reinforcement that when you cry, you get attention. So the idea is that...
You're still doing that at 66.
I'm still doing
66.
It to this day.
And it works quite well.
Yeah, but my intended audience is in question. The idea is that the baby learns that if it feels something or does something or expresses something before the event, it's going to get a result. So already we're lining up in the line, if you will, of being intuitive. Now, also being intuitive, you have to have a certain command of your senses. And to think or feel that what you're experiencing within your mind or within your being is going to get the results you want. We haven't even gotten to the position yet of how intuition becomes more pure intuition. We're just talking about how we opened up the very first baby door of experiencing something and getting a result from it before it occurred. So we get that, and we... get to formulate the idea that if we do something or we feel something, of course, a baby isn't being intellectual. It's just basically responding to its own inner needs. But if we start to feel or sense something, that we want, and we do something to prompt the success of obtaining our goal, that's in the alignment of intuition. Let's go to a child that's maybe 3 or 4. And let's take the example of Christmas. The child says to the mother, I want that rocking horse. They don't have rocking horses today, so you know where I'm coming from. But
they do
do have rocking horses?
Of course.
Well, I want that rocking horse for Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever it may be. And the mother just sits there and looks at the child smiling and go, well, I don't know. We'll have to wait to see what Santa says or Moses or whoever.
I didn't know Moses delivered gifts on Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
About a month after he came down from Mount Sinai, he was selling Ten Commandments. They were going about $10.99. So the child is sitting there thinking, I know I'm going to get it. I know I'm going to get it. He's excited. I feel I'm going to get it. Now, most children end up getting what they want. And so it gives the child, we're leaping through time, but it gives the child a second thought. Wow, if I sense or feel something or request it, I'm going to get it. Now, of course, it's on a child's level of desire and want and fulfillment, but they have this intuition. And if you can remember, most of us can remember back to getting to that theme of Hanukkah or Christmas or whatever, where we are so excited. We're so excited. And then we get those presents and they're wrapped up and we're trying to think, what's inside? What's inside? This is all the basis of being, having intuition.
Well, you're also touching on manifesting too, you know,
yes.
Manifesting what is desired aside from just intuitively having an idea of what might be coming.
Well, I'm dealing with basic. We're not in any sense of going into an abstract world. We're still basically dealing with concrete things, but we need that concrete foundation. Just like we have the first chakra, we have foundations. We need that concrete foundation in order to grow and expand into the elements of where we're going, intuition, and then upward into being purely psychic. But this is where the elements start. Now, that also isn't to say that there isn't parts of the brain that are already instinctively built in for a sense of intuition, because there's got to be that instinct. We already know from the lower animal kingdom that there is an instinct. The instinct for the deer, the little fawn, to crouch down into the tall grass so they feel a predator is there. And then the instinct to leave the nest as a bird flies. There's always this biological, genetically involved pattern that all animals, including Homo sapiens, have that includes the idea of progressing upward. We're progressing upward. And we have the instinct that in order to progress upward, sometimes we have to crouch and cover. So the idea then is intuition rooted in the concept, however instinctual, of survival and growth. Survival and growth. We know that the child, when they want something, my God, have you ever seen a child in a toy store when they don't get something? You would think the World War III started. And because they're so rooted to an external object, and they want a connection to be made. This is still the basis, I guess, in psychology too, of our connection to be rooted in the sense of intuition and the attainment of an object or even a person. If we go into later years and we're following this sense of intuition and a kid wants to go to Disneyland now. Now he's 7 or 8, and the kid wants to go to Disneyland, and the forecast is for rain. And the mother and father say, if it's raining, we're not going. We're not going in the rain. We're not spending that much money going in the rain. So the kid starts to, if he's not already scientifically connected to the newspaper or whatever, and reading the forecast and going on the internet or wherever you look in the newspaper to to gauge the forecast, maybe even becoming future weathermen, they start to go, it can't rain. It's not going to rain. It's not going to rain. This, again, is rooted to intuition, because you're trying to take something you want to happen in the future and make it fulfilling, and you're using the crude tools of intuition, maybe self-determined, to establish the desirable goal. This, again, is the beginning of what? Intuition. And we're thinking way down the line that it's also the beginning of being psychic.
Obviously.
Because we start, well, Mother says, well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Maybe it will rain and maybe it won't. Why don't you pray? Now the kid goes, oh, pray. Who do I pray to? Pray to God. Pray to the angel. Pray to the spirits. Pray to Buddha. Pray to Moses. Pray to God. Pray to anybody.
Now we're getting into idolatry.
Well, we're getting into icons. We're getting into icons and we're getting into figures, which ultimately are celestial in nature that we can't see. We can't go down the street and pull somebody up to the side and say, look, I know you're just a passerby, but can you make it not rain tomorrow? I mean, no one's going to go out and find a human being, and maybe you'll find a rain dancer or something, or somebody can divert the weather. But basically speaking, we're not going to find a human being. The mother or the father, typically, in stereotype fashion, is going to say, why don't you pray? So now the kid's sitting there praying, oh, please, God, please, I don't want it to rain. Make it not rain. Make it not rain. And they're now using not so much intuition as an interaction with a higher force to, again, establish a desire. Now, the desire is selfish. The kid's not going around saying, oh, I prayed to God, and guess what I found out? You're going to have a cold tomorrow. There's nothing like that going on. The desire is still geared towards a want and a need, so it's very selfish and centered in its endeavor. We haven't gotten to that place, and we're not talking about what? Specialized children who are psychic from the get-go, as soon as they can start talking. And they're saying crude things that amount to being psychic. We're talking
about
the typical
level. This is on the general level of intuition.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we get to that area, and they're praying, and they're praying. And they're either going to – it's either going to work, and they go, oh, my God, this works. This prayer thing works. Or talking to the gods or the angels, this works. And the child continues to do it. And obviously, if the ratio is more success than failure – the child's feeding the sense of communication with an outside force based upon the initial core element of want and need. The child hasn't advanced yet to be highly intuitive on an altruistic level, obviously. So we get this thing going. Now, what about the child that it doesn't happen? It rains. Oh, well, rain. Well, nothing worked. Well, you know, we'll play some games in the house. No. We'll do something. We can still have fun. No, it's raining. I'm not going to Disneyland. You know, and the child now maybe, and we're, you know, being kind of crude here in terms of analyzing this, but the child says, I'm not going to pray anymore. Yeah, it's not going to work. It doesn't work. I'm not going to do it. So, what happens initially with children is they get over it and they want to go to Disneyland again and they try again. And maybe this time it works, or they try a different way for a different situation. This time it works. So they're reinvested in the idea of connection to want, need, a feeling of that maybe something higher than themselves can grant them their wish. Or, you know, the mother may say, well, I'll tell you what, if you clean your room, maybe that might work. You know, the mother starts to be task-oriented and combine a task with pleasure. And if it does rain, the mother might say, you know what, we're not going to Disneyland, but we'll go here, we'll go there, we're going to take a ride here. What would you like to do? It's your choice. And the child's reinforced again with some alternative pleasure. But here again, we're getting to the idea of building intuition. And we can't get away from it as a human species. Every human being on this planet is intuitive. And you may have to dig deep to find it, even if people don't believe in it. You may have to dig deep to find it, but you'll find it. Because everyone is intuitive. The minute you start to form, you wake up in the morning and you start to formulate what your day is going to be, you're going to be laying in bed, you're being intuitive. You have an intuition on a very crude level. Now, if you say, I'm visualizing I'm going to lay in bed, but you know what? I also feel that my cousin David is coming and he'll be here at 1. I don't know. I just have a feeling while I'm laying in bed.
That's pretty specific.
Yeah, that can get specific.
Well, I mean, being here at 1, maybe a softer example would be my cousin David. I have a feeling he's going to show up. I mean, I think getting into the specifics of time, we're starting to get into more psychic information.
Right.
So
more
let's
psychic. You're
leave
right.
it.
But then we start to have this feeling, or we have a feeling that we're going to get a package in the mail. So it's hard to get through life without experiencing, on some level, a sense of intuition. Well, you want to say something?
No, I wasn't. Well, I mean, I'm going to, but I go ahead, finish what you're saying.
So now we're moving along, and we're not really in the definitive sense of intuition. Intuition is to feel something that's going to happen.
Right, because there are different grades of intuition. I mean, like you're saying, a crude intuition is going to be different than a more refined sense of intuition, though that refined sense of intuition will be short of being actually psychic.
Right.
And so there are varying degrees of intuition depending on the human being.
Yeah, and it gets kind of tricky. It gets kind of tricky. The little boy who's in the fifth grade, who's in love with the girl, the little redhead girl, and he says to himself, gee, if I give her this box of candy, she's going to like me. Now, is he being manipulative or is he being intuitive? Does he really sense that the box of candy that he gives is an omen, is like an omen? It's like, this is going to work because I see it. I see it working. Or is he using manipulation or persuasion? They all kind of fit, because as we advance into the element of higher intuition and psychic abilities, we get into those individuals who feel, I can do it. I'm psychic. I can see
things. So it's more of a will.
A will based upon the ego, based upon experience, and then suddenly there are two branches to the psychic tree, those that are psychic because they receive messages and those who are psychic because they just think their ego can do it. You know, the people who just walk around, and it doesn't mean that they're bad people or anything, but their personalities convey a sense of that they are the psychic, the John Edwards, the Sylvia Browns, who still can say that they can be held hostage by spirits, as John Edwards would say, or that they receive messages from gods or spirits or angels. But still, the personality is outstanding. You see the personality before you see the spirit talking to them. And they become more ego-based psychics, which is kind of hard to get out of once you become quite skilled at it and adept at it.
We have a caller. So let's take the caller, Neil. We'll
okay,
get
so
back
let's
to
take
this.
A break and get to
let's
the caller.
Let's take a break. Okay. A break and a breath. Hi, 317, you're on the air. They dropped.
Well.
I wonder if we're having a problem being heard.
Are we having a problem being heard?
I don't know. We'll see if they come back. So anyway, back to what?
The ego-based.
The ego-based. I mean, it's interesting because is that really being psychic? I mean, being
sure
ego-based psychic?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
that's self-produced
it all
results,
depends on the person.
I mean, you're
the
like
psyche and the personality of the person who isn't intuitive or a psychic. Some people are very. You just get a feel that they're outside of their talent. They don't really grasp their talent as much as they are a channel to give messages, and they give those messages out, and they don't really. Their behavior isn't so outstandingly connected to their ego as it is to that they're just solemn, quiet people. I've known psychics, the psychics that I knew in the beginning of my career, when my grandfather would take me to this psychic or that psychic, very rarely, just for a brief little discussion and for the psychic to get a feel for my talents. These were people that just lived in little apartments. They went, but they were very, very good at what they did. And I could even sense it as a child in my state of high intuition and psychicness, that these were not outstanding personalities. They were just rare, beautiful people that had a talent, and they were able to get outside of their ego and just channel information.
Which that's kind of to my point, that being an ego-based psychic is not going to be as pure of a channel as someone who is receiving information outside themselves rather than generating.
Maybe. Well, I don't know if the word purity is important. Ego-based psychics and intuitives can still be very highly accurate. They can be.
317 is on the air. Hello?
Hi, this is Sherry.
Can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, now we can. Who's this?
Okay, Sherry.
Sherry?
Yes.
Sherry, how do you spell Sherry?
S-H-A-R-I.
Hi, Sherry.
Oh, just like the Four Seasons.
Ugh. Yeah. Sherry Lewis, you know, I think that's what my mother named me after, so.
Oh, wasn't Sherry Baby?
oh, boy. Okay.
I don't know.
Sherry.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Well, enough of the 60s. Go ahead.
Well, to be honest, I was trying to listen to your show, and I couldn't listen unless I called in.
Really? What was
evidently
happening?
Evidently, I'm doing something wrong.
I kept trying to
press the little arrow, and then I get the two lines, like it's getting ready to come up and like to where I could hear you, but I couldn't hear anything, so I thought, well, I'll just call in. And
I wonder, I should check with headphones on my phone to see if I can hear us.
Will the archives pick up our...
I have no idea. I don't know.
I could possibly be doing something wrong because I tried getting
my
other shows.
I can check to see if we're being heard, and that way, you know, on my other device here. But what's your question, Sherry? Did you have a question?
Well, yeah, my question would be, do you see me switching jobs anytime in the future?
Okay, let's get your birthday, too.
Okay, 8/2/62.
I wrote down an 8 before she even said it. I wrote down an 8, so I knew something was going on. 8/2/62?
Uh-huh.
28/28/10/1. Okay. All right. And you are 55 years old? Okay. And you're wondering about switching jobs.
Mm-hmm. Our careers.
So you're in a career and you might want to get out of it.
Correct.
Any more information?
Well, definitely. You're switching. But it won't happen. It shouldn't happen. I mean, it could, but it shouldn't happen until August when you're 56.
Okay.
It's going to be, that's not far away.
It's doubling over 28.
Yeah. Yeah, the doubling of your 28, and in your capacity, what you have is an 8/2 in your first two numbers, and then you have an 8 and a 2 in your first and last numbers. See, and then your 62 adds up to an 8. Well, anyways, this and your 26 adds up to an 8. Your day and your year, the numbers. So you have all these
alpha,
8s going
omega,
on.
2/8, yeah.
So what it means is that there's these multiple levels of job energies that you go through in this lifetime. Not to mention. It's none of our business, but not to mention that you're prone to divorce either with your parents or within your own life. You went through a divorce.
Yes, I have gone through a divorce.
This is in your code, Sherry. So this is in your code. That's a legitimate psychic evaluation, validated. Now what we're saying is that you're going to be switching jobs. So if you're going to say, okay, generally speaking, what you're saying is I'm switching jobs. I can expect that. The answer is yes. And then the second question is, and you're saying maybe, perhaps, around August or somewhere in that vicinity. The answer is yes. Now, there's something else that's going on that's a little bit intriguing and interesting to me that involves a something on the side. I don't know quite what it is because it may be something very obscure and kind of general, but it has to do with clothes, making clothes, someone who was very good at mending clothes, something to do with fashion. Does that feel like anything surrounding you currently or in the past?
Not really, no.
Okay. In your job, in the idea of where you may be going to work, which is right now your private thought, would you need to change your wardrobe? Would there be any need to change your dress or your clothes?
Not really. Just maybe. No, really, not really. No.
Okay. Third question. Has anything been going on with your wardrobe lately? Have you changed? Have you gotten rid of clothes to the Goodwill? Have you bought anything lately? Anything like that?
No, I probably need to buy clothes. Maybe that's what you're picking up on.
Well, maybe.
Tend to wear the same kind of clothes over and over, so maybe that's what you're picking up
on. Well, we're getting locked into this clothes. I don't know why it happened unless has your mother or your grandmother, well, obviously your grandmother, but has your mother crossed over or any?
Yes.
Your mother crossed over?
Yes, she's been over for almost 20 years.
Okay. Did you keep any of her clothes? Did you have to deal with her clothes when she passed?
I have a nightgown of hers.
A nightgown. Do you wear it or do you just keep it in your closet?
I actually had my grandchildren spend the night a couple of weeks ago, and my granddaughter wore it because she didn't bring any jammies with her.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you had to search for it a little bit, but.
You know, Sherry, sometimes being a psychic, it feels like you're being clumsy, but you're still walking. And I don't know if you've ever called our show.
Have you called our show, Sherry?
No, I have not.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Well, I've been doing this a long time, over close to 50 years, and I've been through every experience I can think of in terms of being a psychic. But sometimes things get a little clumsy, and you have to kind of search. Now, skeptics will say, oh, you know, search hard enough. One time I was watching the John Edwards show, and he was trying to – anybody like this in the audience, and nobody had that name anywhere, and the producers ran outside into the street and found somebody – that connected to that name, and they dragged them into the studio. I mean, it was almost funny, like a Saturday Night Live skit. So sometimes, you know, sometimes, and I'm not putting him down. He's talented, but there are sometimes ways that we get clumsy. It's hard, but you have to trust the integrity of the reader. And I think that the nightgown has something to do with your mother and ultimately connecting to your job. Go ahead, you're going to say something.
Well, this is kind of strange. I actually clean houses during the day, and I, too, am a reader and have been reading for like 10 years. So,
professionally,
it's been hard for me to read
on
for my,
like an amateur level. Professionally.
Reads all over the country, phone reads.
Okay.
But it's hard for me to get information on myself because my analytical mind gets in the way. That's why I like to call in and to psychics and get their view and things like that. So
are you
I totally
looking
understand
to
what
completely
you're talking
stop
about.
The house cleaning and become a full-time psychic?
Eventually, yes. I just don't have enough clients now.
Okay, so I mean, in terms of switching jobs, are you looking to switch jobs on a, like the?
Yes, that.
Go ahead.
That was the job I was talking about. Is quit cleaning and then doing the readings full time.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was asking.
We're going to clean, do their
readings, but she doesn't have enough clients right now to do that.
Okay. So, you see, you have. In my early years, I'm a little bit older than you, but in my early years, believe it or not, I, you know, being a psychic and having all kinds of degrees, blah, blah, blah.
No.
I had to become essentially a maid because I lived in Oregon, and I had to, the only way to live in Oregon and have a nice home on the water, you know, a little tiny, tiny, tiny town was you just found whatever job you could, and I ended up working in a motel as a maid and cleaning rooms for 7 years while I advanced in other areas. But I had to do that. So there's no, you know, you're not disgraced by having, by wanting to be a psychic, and even at your age, by saying, I want to get out of this house cleaning thing. You know, I'm tired of this. I want to go full time to be a psychic.
How long?
I'm
wondering how long you've been cleaning houses, Jerry, just out of curiosity.
I've been cleaning houses for 30 years.
30 years?
Yeah.
And that's your 10 times 3.
Yeah.
So three cycles of that.
Okay, so what you got to do, when I became a kind of full-time, you know, I've always been psychic and energy and all that kind of thing, and then at some point in my life I became full-time at it, way back there in time. But what you have to do, you have certain clients. Right now, do you have the continuous clients, or do you have just a few that call you every once in a while?
Last week I think I did 15 reads. Then I had a party, so that was a big chunk of them. I'll do reads every week.
Wait, you had
You
had 15 appointments last week.
Yeah, but
is that right?
Like 10, yes, but 10 of them, 10 of the reads were at a party. I do parties where I'll do like 10 or 15 people right in a row.
Well, gallon read or whatever.
I do a lot of phone reads.
Five were like phone appointments.
Yeah, I'll get anywhere from two to 7 reads a week, which is not enough to pay the bills.
So how many do you need to pay the bills?
Oh, I would need quite a few. I would need at least, I would have to have at least 4 hours worth of readings a day.
4 hours of readings a day. What state are you in?
Indiana.
Indiana.
Well, do you have business cards and all those things?
A website.
Oh, yeah, I have a website. I have business cards. I'm actually going to have a show on Blog Talk as well. That's why I was kind of listening, kind of like to see how other people roll.
Oh. Well, those are going to help. You know, response to you is that we see you doing a change. So just the level of prediction, yes.
And you were saying August, so it's going to be a process to get to that point.
Yeah.
But perhaps, you know, with the Blog Talk Radio show and more increased promotion, there might be a upsurge in the number of clients that you have.
Yeah. Your code is kind of interesting. Your birthday code is kind of interesting. We won't get into that right now, do you ever receive messages from souls that have crossed over or spirits has your mother ever contacted you personally?
Very rarely. My father has. I've had a lot of other people that have crossed over, but my mother, really, not that much.
Okay, well, that's fine. She seemed to maybe come through. Maybe it's something else I'm picking up that brought me the information. Was anybody a machinist? Anybody very good at machines or fixing cars or had something in their garage?
My dad was an electrician.
Getting into the area of.
Yeah, that's funny because I was thinking about electricians today about an hour ago, hour and a half ago. So there's some of that stuff going on. Yeah, to answer your question, you know, if you're calling to get some clarity from, I don't know how many psychics you're calling, there's so many out there right now, it's incredible. But
I know.
If you're calling to get some, at least on this show, we're legitimate, we feel. At least we want to feel that way. You're going to be making the switch over. It's going to be a process. So there's something in the code that suggests it, Sherry, as well as the sense that there's something outside of your birthday code that is telling us that that's where you're going. And you seem to be pretty much aware of the steps and maneuvers you have to take to get there and the aggressions you have to put out. So if your answer is, will I be met with success in terms of being able to at least modestly handle my life being a purely an intuitive or a reader or a psychic, the answer is yes. It's going to be, if you really love this and you love doing it, the worst note will be it will just cut your bills. That's the worst note. It might get better, but will you be able to survive? Mm-hmm. Yes, if you really put a lot of work into it. You'll be able to meet your bills at least and do this full time, which you'll probably love doing.
Yeah, I do love it. There are days when I think, why do I do this? But for the most part, I do like being a reader. And, you know, I don't know. Some days I just feel like I have a better connection than other days. So,
well, you know, it's all about refining that ability, especially if you're going to be doing that full time.
Yeah.
You know, definitely keep practicing and keep working on your skill because accuracy is important in this line of work.
Yeah,
sure.
You got to remember that you've got to build into your brain that it's not, well, some days I'm better than other days. You don't think that way. Don't even say it. Don't feed into it. Don't say it. Don't get the feeling and then reinforce it. Get rid of that. That's like saying, someday, you know, can you imagine a stereotype? Can you imagine a preacher saying, you know, I'm not really in the mood to preach today. I'm going to stay home and not let the church know I'm coming. I'm not coming.
Yeah, or a surgeon. You know, I'm having a bad day today on the day of your surgery.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't work.
I'll tell you, the bare essence, when people say, sometimes I make connections, sometimes I don't, to me, and I've been doing this since I was a little boy, that's nonsense. Nonsense. I just think, okay, fine, say it all you want. But it's nonsense. You don't, good psychics and good people who have spirit intuition, they don't, you know, it's not like, well, I'm not getting the signals today, I think I'll just go home. No, You will if you're very in tune. So keep it up.
Okay, we have to move on to the next caller, Sherry, but what's the name of your show?
All right, well, thank you.
What's the name of your show?
It's called
Sherry's
World.
Sherry's World, Shari, apostrophe S, World.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, we'll check it out.
Say hello to Wayne for us.
Okay,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, boy. Hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much.
Good luck. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Okay, 860, hello.
Hi, how are you? It's Amy.
Hi, Amy, 12/16/73. She's a 30 equals 3. What's going on, Amy?
It's spring is coming. It's I have good news, so to speak. Things are blossoming. I'm meeting people on my wavelength, the Soul Tribe people, so that's good. Yeah, so I maybe the question is today for any insight on just what's happening in the next month as far as socially or with my work.
With your work, are you talking about your speaking engagements work? Or are you talking
about
your book?
Yeah, because it's a combination. I'm doing networking, and I'm finding people that want me to speak. So, yeah.
Okay, and you take care of your parents, right?
I do.
And you're the sole. Are you the sole source of income for your family?
No. We all share. So
they were, are they, they work too?
No, they're retired.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Do they have an income coming in, retirement or whatever?
Yes.
Oh, good. So you're able to kind of be a little bit more free to do this type of work, even though maybe, like, because probably you wouldn't be able to support the whole family on your job, correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
So more work coming in. Well, it is spring. That's what she was saying.
Well, you know, your code, going back to your code, the 12 is a 3 and the 16 is a 7. And that matches your year inverted, 7-3. So the code in your life is broken up to the extent that it's broken up to the extent that one forms a 7, one forms a 3. And then that fulfillment is in your year. And we're looking at you now being 44, is it?
She's 44.
That's right.
Yeah. And you're basically 14 years past a karmic change in your life. And you're wanting to have this thing. Okay, so here's what
she's coming up on a change at 45.
Yeah, 45 is going to be a change this December. What you need to think about, and this is weird, but just think about it, maybe just in thought form, if nothing else, libraries.
Yes.
Places
I have
where
done that. Yep.
She's done that.
What do you
think? You know, that's interesting. Well, it's funny because I was thinking when I saw her call come in, we just went to a lecture at a library, and I was thinking about that in relation to her.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was. I mean, not telling her to go to a library necessarily, but I thought of it because it was a book lecture, and I know she's writing a book.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was thinking about that. She's writing a book, which she's told us before.
Oh, wow. Okay. So now it's making sense to me, the vision. You're writing a book.
Yes.
Chris and I went to listen to this mystery writer at a bookstore, and so we were there, and then I saw libraries. And you're surrounded by books, and you're saying, yeah, I've been thinking about that for some reason. You're thinking about it. So what that brings us over to is the fulfillment of your lecturing and getting more involved in whatever it is you're doing, lecturing on your book when it's completed, or whatever you're doing to expose yourself to the world.
Don't expose yourself.
cover up. Naked go I. Don't do that one. the naked ape. We can go on, but we don't want to go there. What we want to do is the more that you share your life and the essence of your energy, it seems to be that in this lifetime, you're living on a code that takes you there. There's going to be a connection there.
So in terms of libraries, she's saying she's already done that, but certainly there are other libraries in different areas you might be able to go to, expanding your range geographically.
Yes. And I am doing that. Yes, that's for sure. And I'm also thinking of retreats. It's just random. Universe provides, right? This interesting story.
We can hardly hear you, by the way, Amy. I can't. Can you hardly hear her? I can hardly hear her.
Thinking about trees.
Retreat.
Oh.
No, he can't hear you. Retreat.
Oh, okay.
So you're saying rather than not organizing your own retreats, but contacting people who host retreats and things like that, and seeing if you can speak at those events.
Yes. Yeah, and it's interesting because I thought it was a retreat with meditation this past weekend. It's about an hour and a half north of me in Massachusetts. And long story short, it was a dance retreat. I'm laughing because I had no idea. I just thought it was like, I saw the schedule and they were having some meditations and things of that nature. And I'm like, most of it was just dancing and, with drumming and all that other business, which is great. And then I was talking to somebody, and then just it was just so out of the blue, if you would. Maybe the angels are just,
well,
you know, really on, you know, cheerleading me on. And he said, would you travel up here for retreats or workshops? So, you know, I made a connection that way. I was actually talking to the director, and I didn't know it was him. I didn't know he coordinated the speakers that come up there or the workshops that come up there. So it's talking, it's right timing.
You know, I mean,
good place.
Are you talking
yeah.
about dance?
What
you
was
know,
that?
The, you were talking about the theme of dancing?
Yes.
Well, you know, I mean, the theme of dancing is a purely abstract profession. You're moving through space and time, and
yes.
you're not really typically moving through space and time like a normal walk. You're manipulating the energies around you into a form that is rhythmic. The attitude
yes.
of the challenge of seeing is also moving through space and time with a sense of
yes.
intuition of space and the concept
yes.
of how you need to move, which is different. People who have normal eyesight are not going to walk in the same way you do, and yet both are considered walks. So the walk,
yes.
or if you will, the person with eyesight challenges is an art form. It's an art
yes.
form. And so you can always find yourself attuned to any conference of people's in their immediate profession where you can relate the theme of the energy of eyesight or the lack thereof in the
yes.
form of the metaphorical form of movement. And you can make it a very intriguing and engrossing conversation.
Yep. Yes. I mean, talking about tribe, I had no expectations. I went there with an open heart, and I met a couple people. They are just treasures of people. You could just tell that, you know, I still am emotional about meeting people. I'm like, this has been a while. I've talked to you guys about this, and I met this certain lady, and it was just like she's my sister. Like, we just met, and I felt like I knew her for eons, and I probably have. And it's just such a wonderful feeling, and I've been just thanking God. The last 3 days, I just came back on Sunday from the retreat, and it was just so beautiful, and I'm just so grateful.
Weren't you telling us before that you were having problems, too, meeting quality people? It was at
yes.
a certain point that you felt like you were going into these groups, but you were into you felt the caliber of people that you
yes.
were meeting wasn't good. And so we had talked about this being, you know, meeting better people. So that's great. I mean,
yes.
it's good to hear that that has manifested for you, Amy.
It did. And like the support system, like it feels right. It is right. And it's all divine timing as it always is. But it just took a lot longer than, whatever, the past is the past anyway, but it's just interesting.
Yeah.
I just, when you're not expecting it, that's when it kind of just walks in. Coordinator there talking to me, wanting to have me do a workshop up there in the future. So I was really excited about that. It was really nice. Yeah.
She was just asking about, you know, what's coming up in the next month or so, and she's saying she wants
yeah.
to work and things like that. So that's, I think, the library idea, which obviously you've done, but you can expand on it. You've come up
exactly.
with retreats, which obviously
yeah.
that's your own idea, but maybe reaching out to different organizations and things like that. I mean, as Neil was saying with the dance, obviously that's not directly relatable to you, but I mean, you can be very creative with your lectures, and there's many different groups where you can adapt
yes.
your talk, and
yep.
you know, it can be really interesting, I think.
Well, you know, I think great dancers use intuition because of the idea of the forward motion and
yes.
how the mind is continuously calculating its movement through space.
Yep.
In relation to here the environment of the beat of a sound. But I can't imagine you could build into that a language of movement, considering
yes.
your perspective of space, that could be very
yep.
intriguing if you explored it deeply and really discovered the depths of what it is to move through space and time, you know that better than anybody. And in relation to using the elements of the environment that you can't see, but you still hear, because there is a music when a person who's handicapped with lack of eyesight, the music is the environment, the cars, the knocking, the this and that. You know, I'm not even blind and I can imagine what it must be like. And so there is an orchestra when you go outside. And you're more attuned to it than
someone
the
who
most
has
of
sight,
us are.
Of course.
So there's
it's
the
true.
Music
I mean, like we did a circle at the beginning, and every time we held hands, and every time we had to do that, which was like a couple of times, my legs felt like I had to buckle. The energies were so strong, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I felt like I needed to fall down. It was just that strong with all everybody's energies, like all the connection thing, and it's. Yeah, it's incredible how much I feel. And I was listening to the music, even though my ears are perfectly fine. But with the drumming, I purposely put my hands on the floor. And while people were drumming and you could hear the rhythm and the beats, it's a beautiful feeling. It's so easy to do. Next time you're at a music thing, I highly recommend that. It's really interesting, especially with the beat of the drum, listening to the rhythms through the floor. It's absolutely
right.
Fantastic.
Well,
it's
you're
amazing.
Feeling tactile. You're feeling the rhythm.
Yes.
Through your hand. Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
It's really beautiful. Actually, deaf people do that. That's how they listen to music.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It was so empowering. I can't even tell you, but it's just, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. And I knew this would happen. It's just, it was a matter of time. So
it's good. It's good to hear you in this uplifted place. And
yeah.
Hopefully today's conversation helped a little bit, Amy. We've got to close the show because we're at the
yes,
like almost
I understand
the
that.
90-second warning.
Okay.
I want to make sure that we do that before the
yeah.
on air button goes off. But
sure.
Let us know how things go and keep checking in.
I will. I will. God bless. And happy Easter to you.
Happy
blessings.
Easter to you, too.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Take good care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. We are out of time, Neil. And so we will continue our conversation about intuition and, of course, speak to our callers on Friday this week, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Bye-bye.